الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله عز وجل من هذه الأيام وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام My respected brothers and elders, once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is affording us the great opportunity of witnessing again another very great month, and that is the month of Dhul Hijj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with a very Mubarak month. We are about to commence this Mubarak month, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually taken a qasam on the night of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijj. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah takes a qasam, Wal-Fajr, Wal-Layalin Ashr, by dawn, by Fajr, and by the nights of Dhul Hijj. The Mufassireen are unanimous, or most of them, majority of the Mufassireen, they say that the night, the first 10 nights, or the nights of Dhul Hijj, refer to the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijj, showing to us the importance of these days. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take a qasam on anything. When Allah takes an oath, then it shows the esteem, the supremacy of those things. For example, Allah has taken a qasam on washams, on the sun, wal qamar, on the moon, to highlight to us some significant, some important point upon which Allah has taken an oath. So here Allah has actually taken a qasam on these Mubarak nights. Further, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which I quoted to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, there are no days, ma min ayamin, there are no days in which amal salih, good actions, are more dearer and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than those which are done during these days. So action, good actions, are beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijj, and also of course during the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this opportunity for you and I, my brothers, to raise our hands, supplicate, and cry and beg from His mercy. We know the condition of the Ummah today. We are hearing daily of the American bully, how he wants to invade Iraq. We read daily and we hear daily on how our masoom children and innocent lives are taken in Palestine. My respected brothers and elders, here is a mawqa. Here is an opportunity for you and I, who are so far away from our brothers and sisters and our children, to raise your hands and cry from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our du'as. Our Muslim brothers and sisters are in dire need of our du'as. الدعاء سلاح المؤمن. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that du'a is the weapon of a believer. So my respected brothers and elders, let us waste this opportunity. Many times these days pass by, and all we are interested is celebrating the day of Eid, of course, which is a very Mubarak day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to illustrate the importance of these days, he has even encouraged fasting during these days. In one hadith is mentioned that for every day a person fasts, and of course this refers to the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. The first 8 days, if a person keeps roza during these, one of these 8 days, then he gets a sawab of keeping roza of one whole year. One day you keep roza, you get the sawab of keeping an entire year's roza. On the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, as we know, Arafat day, in one hadith narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he mentions a person who keeps roza on the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, then he gets a sawab of keeping roza for 2 years. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins. And if a person keeps Rosa on Arafat day, on the 9th of the Hijjah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his past year sins and also the minor sins of the year that is going to come. So Allah forgives the minor sins of the past year and Allah forgives the minor sins of the future year. In one hadith it has been mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the keeping Rosa on the day of Arafat is equivalent to keeping Rosa for 1,000 days. So from this we can understand the blessing of these Mubarak days. On the day of Arafat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so overjoyed with the hujjaj that have gathered on the plains of Arafat, that Allah actually bows to the angels. And Allah addresses the angels. And He mentions to His angels, look at my banda. أَتَوْنِي شُعْثًا غُبْرًا مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. They have come to me in this disheveled condition of theirs, with dust on the ihram, and they are supplicating and crying to me. They have come from all corners of the world, somebody from Africa, somebody from Turkey, somebody from China, from Japan, from America. All of them have gathered in this very simple uniform of theirs, whether he is a king, whether he is a poor person, whether he is a teacher or a doctor or an alim. Every person dressed in this garb and all crying, begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, oh my angels, I am making you witness that I have forgiven all of them. Every one of them who is gathered here, I have completely forgiven them. Then the angels say, oh Allah, there is a certain person amongst them who is such a grave sinner. He has committed so much of gunas, oh Allah. Allah says, oh my angels, I am making you witness that I have forgiven that person as well. It is mentioned in the kitab that Iblis, Shaitan, is not disgraced more than how he is disgraced on the day of Arafat. Because Allah forgives so many people. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah accepts the hajj of all the hujjaj who have gone and those who are about to leave. The last few hujjaj are about to leave. And may Allah give us also the tawfiq of performing hajj. I do not want to digress, but those of us who have not performed hajj as yet, and hajj is further upon us, my respected brothers and elders, when we have no valid excuse, then remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding that person after having the means, he fails to perform hajj. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that even if he dies as a Yahud, a Jew, or a Christian, it does not matter to me. So if it is possible to go now, I don't know about them issuing visas now, but if it is possible, and if it comes to any person's heart, then respected brothers and elders, let us go for it. Otherwise, make your firm intention now, whilst you are sitting here, a very sincere intention, come what may, next year I will perform my hajj. What is the message of hajj? Submission. Surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the hujjaj will be in Mina, then they will be in Arafat, then they will be in Muzdalifah. At times they will be picking up pebbles, then they will be throwing those pebbles at the Jamarat, then they will be sacrificing the animal. My respected brothers and elders, this movement from Makkah to Mina, to Muzdalifah, to Arafat, all these places, shows to us complete submission to the word of, to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the very same message we find in Qurbani. The message of Qurbani is aslim. Submit, surrender yourself to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, ya Rasulullah, ma hadhi al-adahi? What is Qurbani all about? My respected brothers and elders, we find Qurbani was not only in this ummah, but actually it originated right from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran also mentions the word Qurban. And the root letters from which the word Qurban is derived is Qurb. And Qurb means nearness. So one gains nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of this sacrifice. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam very briefly had two sons, Habil and Qabil. And they were instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the incident is very long, but they had to sacrifice, or they had to submit their sacrifice in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Habil, the one brother, he found a very, or the best of his flock, and he presented this, and Qabil, his brother, who was very jealous of him, he had some crops and he put this in front. We find in the past, a fire would come and devour that sacrifice which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. If a fire came from the heaven and devoured any sacrifice, and that was a sign that that particular sacrifice of mine has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we see the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mercy upon this ummah. That no fire comes and devours an animal. In fact, that same animal that you are sacrificing, it is perfectly halal for you to consume the meat of that animal. This is the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, we find that both of them put forward their sacrifices, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the fire which devoured the sacrifice of Habil and not Qabil. And of course, Qabil became more envious of his brother. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْهِ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. So Qurbani was right from that era of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, of course in a different form. We find even in the period of Jahiliyyah, they would sacrifice animals, but they would sacrifice animals in the names of the idols. Islam came and Islam taught us to sacrifice animals in the name of Allah alone. We invoke, we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, when we sacrifice the animal. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma hadhi al-adahi? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the sunnat and the custom, the practice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. And of course, the very next question they asked, ya Rasulullah, what will we get if we sacrifice an animal? What reward will we get? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, bikulli sha'ratin hasana, for every hair, for every strand of hair on that animal, every strand on that animal, you will get one neki, one blessing. Now you and I cannot count how much of hair that animal has. So much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much of reward He sends upon us. It is mentioned that before the very first drop of blood can reach the ground, when a person slaughters the animal, before the very first drop can reach the ground, Allah has already accepted that sacrifice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he tells her, O Fatima, the moment the first drop of blood is spilt out of this animal and oozes out of this animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all your past sins. Sayyidina Fatima asks, ya Rasulullah, is it only for us Ahlul Bayt, your family? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he said, it is for my family Ahlul Bayt and also for the entire Muslim Ummah. So this virtue is also for us. In one hadith it has been mentioned that that animal, that Qurbani animal, will become a means of us being saved from going into the fire of Jahannam. In one hadith it has been mentioned that the same animal will be brought on the day of Qiyamah with his hooves, with his horns, with his flesh, with his blood, and it will be multiplied by 70 times, 70 times, and be placed on the scales, the mizan, and of course it will make this scale of good deeds, the side of the good deeds, more weightier, and thus causing him entry into paradise. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to sacrifice, to make this qurbani, and he has given grave warnings against that person who, after having the means, fails to make the qurbani. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that such a person should not even come near our Eidgah. He should not even come near to performing our Eid Salat. So actually Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging all of us who have the means of making this qurbani to purchase that good fat animal and sacrifice it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we come back to the lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was approximately 78 years old, close to 80 years old, he had no children, and he left his people because they were worshipping idols. He tried his level best, inviting them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they rejected him. So he makes dua, Allah give me a child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately answers his dua, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him khushkhabri of a son, and also the quality of the son. Allah says he will be a very tolerant, a very patient child. And we find this tolerance in the life of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, especially in the lesson of Qurbani, very evident. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, unfortunately because of time, the incident where he leaves Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and Hajar in Makkah, in the barren lands of Makkah. But coming to the point of Qurbani, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sees a vision, sees a dream. Inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. He sees that he is sacrificing Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes to Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, "Oh my beloved son, I have seen this vision," and according to some mufassirin, he had seen it for 3 consecutive days. "What is your view? What do you have to say, oh my beloved son?" Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, and Allama Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, all of them have mentioned that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, ma'adallah, was not reluctant in performing, in carrying out this injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a great Nabi, he was Khalilullah. And this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see whether his love for his son is greater or the love that he has for Allah. And Allah makes him see this vision. It is mentioned in the kitab that رؤيا الأنبياء وحي. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, when they see a dream, then that dream is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam for his opinion, to think about it, to test Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and to see what kind of answer my son is going to give. He has been nurtured in the house of a Nabi, and his tarbiyat was made in the house of a Nabi who was Khalilullah. What answer my beloved son is going to give? And of course you all know that Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam spontaneously said, "If'al ma tu'mar, oh my beloved father, carry out that command which you have been commanded. I am ready for it." So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam tests his son. In Ruhul Maani it is mentioned that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to check. Supposing if Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam became afraid and he became scared, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam knew that now he would have to educate his son and explain to him the importance of this dream and that he has to be sacrificed. And if Ismail salatu wasalam responds positively, then he will have itminan, he will be at peace. So we find also the mufassirin mentioned that Ibrahim salatu wasalam wants to mentally prepare Ismail salatu wasalam for the sacrifice that is going to take place. If'al ma tu'mar, O my beloved father, carry out, execute your command. Whatever you have been commanded, carry it out. Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. You will soon find me, if Allah wills, among those who are patient, those who are steadfast. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam saying insha'Allah in this ayah, he could have just said satajiduni min as-sabirin. You will find me among those who are patient. But he took the name of Allah and he said insha'Allah, Allah willing, to take blessings from the name of Allah, firstly. And secondly, to show that any good deed a person does, it is done only through the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person stays away and refrains from guna, it is only through the assistance and help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That a person has no strength, he cannot turn away from guna, except with the hifazat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person cannot do any good deed except with the assistance and tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala side. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. And this is the lesson of Qurbani. When both father and son now go to the place where Ismail salatu wasalam is going to be sacrificed, Allah used the beautiful word فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. When both submit, surrender themselves to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam places Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam on his side. Some mufassirin say on his forehead. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam tells his father, "Oh my father," before his father placed him in this manner, "Oh my father, do not just look at me whilst you are slaughtering. You rather place me onto the ground, then it will become easy for you to slaughter me. Otherwise you will show mercy upon me and then you will not be able to carry out this command." Then Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam tells his father, "Oh my father, tie my body. So that whilst you are slaughtering me and if I feel that pain, I might begin to shake and kick, then again it will become difficult to carry out this command." And he says, "Oh my father, remove this qamis of mine, this kurta of mine. Perhaps some blood may spill onto this qamis. And when you will take it to my beloved mother, She will grieve upon seeing this blood stained kurta. And then he says, oh my father, convey my salams to my beloved mother when you go there. And then he says, oh my father, sharpen this knife so that it will be easy for you to pass this knife over my neck, and I will be slaughtered in a very, very swift and quick manner. From this we understand how we are supposed to slaughter the animals. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also mentioned this. My respected brothers and sisters, it's not the first year that we'll be sacrificing, inshallah. We have sacrificed animals over many, many years. But every time it comes to qurbani, somehow we become, or we seem that we do not have so much of knowledge, and we cause a lot of pain and suffering to the animal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna Allah katab al ihsana ala kulli shayin. Allah has commanded us to do good to everything. And when you have to kill a person, if a person is found guilty and he has to be killed according to the laws of Sharia, then too you have to exercise caution. You must not overdo that killing. You must not harm that person. You must not cause any more injury to that person. And also when you're sacrificing that animal, then Rasulullah says that slaughter the animal swiftly. Before that, sharpen your knife. Rasulullah was once passing by a sahabi who had the animal down. His leg was on the animal, and the animal was looking at the sahabi. The eyes of the animal focused to the sahabi, and he was busy taking his knife and then sharpening in front of the animal. Rasulullah said, what is this? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm about to slaughter this animal. Then Rasulullah said, why didn't you sharpen the knife before? Do you want to give this animal two deaths? Now this is rahmatul alameen. How I wish the American bully and his friend, his English friend, understand ihsan upon mankind, humanity. They just want to invade. They just want to kill mercilessly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these Mubarak days, my respected brothers and elders, remember, we have this weapon of dua, cry and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who changes conditions. We find when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, when they submit, surrender themselves, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is trying to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah commands the knife not to cut. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is trying his best. But this shows the qudrat, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how Allah, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown by his people into the fire, Allah commanded the fire, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Become cool and calm upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So everything happens with the idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be our yaqeen. And this should be our type of submission and surrendering to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah saw this, then Allah said, oh Ibrahim, you have proved your dream true. قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. And Allah sent a beautiful ram from paradise to be slaughtered in lieu of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah loved this action so much that today the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam is instructed to carry out the sacrifice. And of course we are not to sacrifice our own sons. We have to sacrifice the animal. And at this point I just want to mention that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was shown a vision, a dream. This shows to us, the Mufassirin explain, that the dream of a Nabi is true. And this also shows how loyal Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you and I had seen this dream, then we would have made some interpretations, some other interpretations, and we would become very reluctant to carry out this command. In fact, we wouldn't have carried out this command. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam carried out this command. And this vision, this dream he saw, it was wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talking about dreams, most of us see dreams, all of us see dreams, but every dream does not have to be interpreted. We find 2 o'clock in the morning, if somebody sees a dream, then we phone Maulana and ask him interpretation. My respected brothers and elders, if any, especially the women folk, they are quite fond of doing, seeing some dream and they want some interpretation. This requires much detailed explanation in some other occasion, inshallah. We will explain dreams and what is the importance and significance of dreams and what a person should read when he sees a nightmare, etc. So if any mother-in-law, any daughter-in-law sees that she is now slaughtering her mother-in-law in the dream, please do not feel that now you must now go and slaughter your mother-in-law. رُؤْيَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ حَقٌّ وَحْيٌ. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever dream that they see, that is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to show us that whether they're in a whether they are in a state of wakefulness or whether they're in a dream, whatever command comes to them, that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, we see in the lesson from Hajj and the lesson from Qurbani, aslim, submit, surrender yourself to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many blessings there is for Qurbani. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all of us that life and the tawfiq of seeing these Mubarak days and spending our Eid day according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially during these days, make dua for the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and show that kindness and softness towards and compassion towards the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who are poor, those who are unfortunate, those who are unfortunate in our own country, and of course those who are in dire need and desperation throughout the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our ulama had this, and always I explain the same point, submit, surrender yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not know how much of life we have. Perhaps we may not even leave this masjid. We do not know how long we are going to stay. Nobody knows when Qiyamah is going to take place. We had great ulama who were with us, Mawlana Abdul Haq Umar Ji, rahmatullahi alayhi. He would cry and he would express his burning desire in his heart. He would lecture to all of us, not on certain occasions, throughout his life. And we know through what sabr he went, and what pains and sacrifices he made. My respected brothers and elders, he's no longer with us today. And today now we say, how we shall spend more time with Morana, and so much he did for deen. My respected brothers and elders, now is the time to put into practice what these ulama have said, and what these great ulama are saying to us. Now is the time to inculcate in us that same spirit of sacrifice which was very evident in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, and which was very clear to us in the life of Ibrahim and Ismail salatu salam, and in all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam. Wa afiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.